It's 5:33, your drive home downtown, presented by a Hollywood Casino, Hotel, and Raceway at 500 Main Street in downtown Bangor. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole here in a big day in Boston sports with thoughts on all that's gone on. We're joined on the phone by our friend Gary Tangway of Comcast Sportsnet New England. Gary, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich, the Hollywood Casino, is that where the bounty used to be?
That is where the bounty used to be, yes. I think out back they actually have a speaker that's bronzed with your name.
That is hallowed ground, my friend.
Oh, there's no question about it right there. Yeah, many ghosts floating around.
But anyways, we digress.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a huge day in the Boston sports team. Let's start with what happened in Fall River today. Were you at all surprised at this verdict?
Yeah, I was, because I thought the longer the verdict went, or the deliberation, excuse me, the better chance Hernandez had to get off. And when I say, you know, get off, I mean, you know, gun charges. I felt that the evidence of second charge coming up with the double murder certainly had more evidence, and I thought they were going to get him there if they didn't get him here. But, you know, good for the jury. They were instructed by the judge that they did not have to have a weapon. It wasn't necessary under the law in the state of Massachusetts, and the Robert Kraft testimony was important. I think also the photos and the diagram of the way that Odin Lloyd was murdered, I think that also played dramatically into the decision-making, and they said, you know what? That's it. Murder one. No parole. Obviously, they did their due diligence, because from every legal person that I've heard or read, you know, they said this jury was outstanding. I mean, they dotted their I's and crossed their T's. So, but I am surprised, because to me, that the fact that there's no weapon or motive, I always thought that that would be enough for him to get him off at least murder one. And probably have him deal with a gun charge for now. But what do I know?
Yeah, and the jurors, too, interviewed after the fact, seemed to be surprised by a couple of things. Number one being that the defense pretty much admitted he was there at the crime scene, which certainly was some damning evidence. And also his own comments to Robert Kraft that you alluded to, where he claimed that he was at a nightclub at the time of the murder, when at that time, the time of the murder was not public knowledge.
Agreed. And I think that when you look at the videotape of him at the gas station and how there was a .22 pistol or revolver near the body that was connected to Hernandez, you saw the videotape of his behavior after the murder, you knew that this wasn't a scared guy who had just witnessed the murder and was intimidated by the thugs he was with. It was obvious that he was the ringleader. So you're right. That was the final nail in the coffin.
Now, what's the next step here for his defense team? They've got the double murder trial to prepare for, but are they seriously considering an appeal?
I haven't heard anything about an appeal, and I've heard this defense team could be out the door because he doesn't have any money.
Mm.
So, you know, they... I think that... money talks, and I think he's out of money. So I think the next defense team he has may be appointed by the state, believe it or not. As crazy as that is for someone who just received that contract, of course, he didn't get the majority of it. I don't think you'll see the same defense team with him again.
Very interesting. Gary Tangway, CSN New England, joining us here on Downtown. Now the other big story out of Boston, again, not unexpected. Peter Chiarelli out as Bruins general manager. And the interesting thing I thought that came out of the press conference was the acknowledgement that they didn't let him make any moves at the deadline that might have helped him save his job.
You think? It's like, you know, Peter, we're not. You cannot have a life jacket. You are walking the plank. But you are not allowed to wear a life jacket. And, you know, when Neely answered that question, and I've, not to name drop, but I've been around Cam Neely a long time. I was there when he played. I was there when he made the comeback. I've talked to him. I know him a little bit. He's a really nice guy. He's mild-mannered. And, you know, today he was pissed. I mean, there was anger in his eyes. And he had it with these guys. And I think that he had it during the season, too. And that's when he said, Peter, don't get any ideas about screwing up my team to save your ass. And that's basically what he said. I mean, now it's on Neely, though. Now this is all on Cam because he's got to make the right hires. Now, he has said, I don't want to be a GM because he doesn't want to have to do all the work, and that's fine. But now he's got to pick the right guy and eventually the right coach. So now the pressure's on Cam a little bit.
You know, I heard a lot of people along the way who said, well, you don't fire guys if you're not sure you can get anybody better. But I think you reach a certain point where you say, well, maybe, but this is not working, and we can't be afraid of the unknown. You've got to make a decision. And I just like the fact that they were decisive in this case.
Well, if you have somebody working for you, Rich, you have to buy into that guy. I mean, even though Claude won the Stanley Cup and they made another run, Claude was never on the same page with Neely. Never. Never. Not once. I mean, even Neely, to me, when he came on board as the president and at the time supposedly the face of the franchise, I think that Cam's presence was one of the reasons they won the Cup, because they dropped the turn the other cheek and they started to get a little gritty and they started to grow some stones. And I know that Sean Thornton told me that when Cam Neely was around, people were on their best behavior. And Thornton, if he didn't have a good game and he saw Neely, he did not feel good about himself. So, you know, Neely was a guy that wants to score goals, and if somebody hits you, you hit them back harder. And that's not Claude. Claude plays defense, and he's turned the other cheek. So, long term, there's no way Neely wants to keep him around. And, you know, when it came to Peter, listen, he screwed up the cap. I mean, that's just it. I mean, he screwed up the cap. And I don't know, Neely may be thinking about the Sagan thing, you know, because Neely wants goals. Goals are in Dallas.
What do you think happens now with Claude? Do they wait and see what the general manager wants to do?
The rumor is that Neely really wants Babcock, who's going to be a free agent out of Detroit, and they'll bring him over, and Sweeney will be the GM. Now, Sweeney's the GM. I don't see them keeping Claude. I think that Sweeney becomes the GM, they're going to bring in another coach. But now, you know, what people need to realize, not only was Sweeney Cam's teammate, but he was also a teammate of Peter Chiarelli in Harvard. So Sweeney was tight with both of those guys. So I don't know how it's going to go, but I think Claude's done. I think that they're just leaving it up to the new general manager and letting him, you know, make the decision.
On the positive side of things, before we let you go, how about the Celtics, seventh seed, heading into the playoffs on a head of steam? Nobody expects them to do a lot of damage here in the postseason, but it's been a remarkable year. And the big thing I've seen is the change in attitude toward this Celtics team. People like these guys.
People love these guys. They like each other. If they win one game against Cleveland, they're going to have a rolling rally. I was talking to Walter McCarty the other day, you know, assistant coach, and Walt was like, these guys, they come to work. They look forward to playing together. They go out to eat together. I'm getting grief now in the newsroom because I'm dropping big names like Walter McCarty. Yeah, that's really dropping a huge name. But we just, like, you know, when Rondo left and Green left, a lot of the negativity went out the door, and these guys just want to play ball. And last night I was so excited that they won, even though I wanted them to face Atlanta. But the way, especially in the second half of the season, they have hung tough in close ball games. They're a blast. They're an absolute blast.
And Gary, isn't it interesting, too, and do you take a little bit of, I don't know, satisfaction in the fact that the Dallas trade didn't work out very well for them and that Rondo may be just a role player when it comes time for postseason for Rick Carlisle?
Yeah, well, sure. I mean, Carlisle has no patience. Rick, as soon as Rick gave him the hairy eyeball there and yelled at him on the floor, the writing was on the wall. Listen, Rondo is his own worst enemy. It wasn't going to work here because he's just a jerk. He just is. Now, I thought when he went to Dallas, he would fall in line, but he has not, and that's been a disaster for them. And Rondo's career is in question big time. I mean, max contract. This guy's not going to make any money next year.
Gary Tanguay, Comcast Sportsnet New England. Who have you got tonight on the early edition?
We have Lou Maloney, Framingham's Lou Maloney.
Ooh, like that.
Dan Shaughnessy and Felger to continue to throw more oil on the Bruins fire.
Fantastic. We'll be tuned in tonight.
More gas in the fire, I should.
I love it. Thank you, Gary. We appreciate it.
Rich, anytime. See ya.
We'll see you soon. Gary Tanguay.